Our scripture reading for this morning is James 3, 13 to 18. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Well, I'd like to remind everyone that we are continuing with our series in James, picking up where we left off last week in the third chapter of this epistle, moving on to verse 13 to verse 18. Our text for today opens with a question directed towards all of us who are present this morning, and that question is this: who is wise and understanding among you? Do we consider ourselves to be wise and understanding? Do we believe that we are living wisely and are able to help others to live wisely? Do we consider ourselves to be a mentor to others in regard to what is most important in life? Well, if we answer affirmatively to these questions, our text tells us to back up our claim with proof. What is the proof of possessing true wisdom? And the answer to that question is given in our text, and the answer is our good conduct. Verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. So once again, what is the result of possessing true wisdom? Our good conduct. True wisdom teaches us how to conduct ourselves in a manner pleasing to God. And that conduct which is pleasing to God is doing his righteous will with meekness of heart. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. So we can see that the primary concern of true wisdom is not how to please ourselves or please others, but how to please God. And if we're in the dark about that, we are neither wise nor understanding about what really matters. If we're in the dark about that, and yet consider ourselves wise, it may be that we are quite confused and are mistaking something else for wisdom. Verse 14. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. If we think of ourselves as wise, it may very well be that we are mistaking bitter jealousy and selfish ambition for wisdom. How very many confuse bitter jealousy and selfish ambition for wisdom. Let's consider the first characteristic that is often mistaken for wisdom, and that is bitter jealousy. Now we know that jealousy can be a good thing. A husband can be jealous in a good way over his wife, and vice versa. A wife belongs to her husband, and a husband belongs to his wife. Because they belong to each other in the bond of marriage, there is an appropriate possessiveness shared between spouses. That's a good kind of jealousy. But then there's bitter jealousy. Some people become possessive about nearly anything that they find desirable. They desire the attention for themselves. They want the best opportunities for themselves. They want their way over everyone else's way. They want to be the favorite over everybody else. And of course, when people are jealously possessive in that way, what happens? Well, they become aggressive, territorial, and belligerent towards others. They take on an acrid and harsh personality, a bitter personality. They intimidate and frighten people into backing off from what they deem belongs to them. People resort to bitter jealousy in order to get what they want and in order to keep what they want. And while they are doing this, they mistake it for wisdom. People often mistake selfish ambition for wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, people often mistake selfish ambition for wisdom. They'll do whatever it takes to realize some personal goal of theirs, even if doing so involves certain unscrupulous methods. They'll resort to various forms of deceit, falsehood, duplicity, treachery to obtain what they want. And they may figure out how to do this in very subtle and disarming ways, ways that are not obvious. They may become highly adept at manipulating people through clever and devious methods. And of course, they'll reason that the end justifies the means. They're just doing what it takes to get ahead. In their own eyes, they're just doing what is wise. We may be well versed in the ways of bitter jealousy and selfish ambition, and for that reason, consider ourselves to be wise and understanding. But in reality, as we read in our text, if that be the case, we are being false to the truth, because that is not truly wisdom at all. What is that then? It's not wisdom. We read on in our text, verse 15. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. Bitter jealousy, selfish ambition. That is not the wisdom from above. That is not the wisdom of God. That is a counterfeit wisdom, which is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. First of all, this kind of counterfeit wisdom is not heavenly, but earthly. It has as its goal earthly desires, not a heavenly reward. It's earthly. Secondly, this kind of counterfeit wisdom is not spiritual, but unspiritual. It doesn't teach us how to please God. It doesn't teach us about his righteous will. What it does teach us is how to gratify our own cravings and ambitions. It's unspiritual. Thirdly, this kind of wisdom is not godly, but demonic. It doesn't teach us how to be Christ-like. It doesn't teach us how to be more like our Lord. Rather, it teaches us how to be demon-like. Demon-like in ungodliness and deceitfulness. And when this kind of so-called wisdom is put into practice, the results are horrific to behold. Verse 16. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. Wherever people are driven by bitter jealousy and selfish ambition, the result will be disorder and every vile practice. So first of all, this kind of counterfeit wisdom results in disorder. As we lash out at people out of our bitter jealousy, what happens? As we are belligerent and possessive about the things that we deem to be ours, what happens? We provoke others to anger. Proverbs 15:1. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Stirs up anger, that's disorder. How many useless, selfish conflicts are stirred up by the bitter jealousy of people? Now let's consider selfish ambition. Deceitful, unscrupulous methods of selfish ambition also results in disorder. It sows confusion and conflict wherever we go as we propagate lies, betray trust, and take advantage of people. Bitter jealousy and selfish ambition not only results in disorder, but according to our text, it also results in every vile practice. Insults, bickering, violence, factiousness, betrayal, slander, fraud, bribery, cruelty, sexual immorality, murder, and the list goes on and on. Every vile practice, these are the things people resort to out of the bitter jealousy and selfish ambition of their hearts. And we need only look at the news to see that that is the case. We need only to look at the people around us to see that that is the case. Friends, the methods and schemes of bitter jealousy and selfish ambition do not constitute wisdom. If this is the kind of wisdom we boast of, if this is the kind of wisdom we are versed in, our text tells us, do not be false to the truth. We are not wise. We are not understanding. What we do understand is how to be earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. We are skilled and learned in how to contribute to the hellishness of life on earth. What then is true wisdom? Well, as we read in verse 13, true wisdom teaches us how to conduct ourselves rightly in the sight of God. That is the goal of true wisdom. Not to please ourselves, not to get what we want, but how to conduct ourselves rightly in the sight of God. True wisdom teaches us how to do what is pleasing to God with meekness of heart. See, true wisdom is God-centered, not self-centered. And when a person is God-centered, what happens to them? They become meek. That's why meekness is emphasized in verse 13. When a person becomes God-centered, they become meek. They become humble. They are no longer at the forefront of their thoughts. They lose their sense of self-importance. They no longer insist on their own way. Their personal cravings and passions are no longer central to their lives. What God wills and desires of His people becomes central. They no longer insist on their own way. They insist on God's way. Self is no longer the most important person. God becomes the most important person. In fact, they'll do things that may bring harm and loss and difficulty to themselves. They'll do things that invite the scorn of and mockery of people. But they are content and happy for as long as they know that what they did was right in the sight of God. They count the righteousness of God far more precious than obtaining any earthly goal, desire, ambition. That's what it means to be meek. When we are God-centered, we become meek. True wisdom is understanding how to please God with a meekness of heart. And so we read on in our text concerning true wisdom. The contrast is with bitter jealousy and selfish ambition, the wisdom of this world. Verse 17, but the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. What is the wisdom from above? What is the wisdom from God? Well, first we read in verse 17, true wisdom is pure. It is free from the defilement of the earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. It is, in contrast, heavenly, spiritual, and godly. It is heavenly. It is concerned with obtaining a heavenly inheritance and a heavenly reward. It is spiritual. It is concerned with teaching the will of our Heavenly Father. It is godly. It is concerned with making us like our Lord and God, Jesus Christ. So much that passes as Christian teaching today is not pure but impure. It is defiled by the desires of bitter jealousy and selfish ambition. It places man's selfish cravings at the center and presents God as a servant to human desire. It neglects or ignores the things that are pleasing to God. It purports to teach how God can please us, how God can fulfill our dreams, how God can help us obtain our earthly personal goals. But the wisdom of God, the wisdom of His Word, is first of all pure. It is free from the defilement of the earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. It is heavenly, spiritual, and godly. The wisdom of God, as we read in verse 17, is peaceable. That's how we recognize it to be the wisdom of God. As our text showed us in verse 16, bitter jealousy and selfish ambition stirs up self-centered tumult and conflict. But true wisdom aims at righteousness, not selfish gain. So it has nothing to do with the kind of self-centered disorder provoked by false earthly wisdom. True wisdom promotes the meekness of a God-centered heart, which undercuts the disorder that results from the self-centeredness of a jealous and ambitious heart. True wisdom, as we read in verse 17, is gentle. Those who are driven by bitter jealousy and selfish ambition will pursue their earthly desires aggressively, There's nothing more important than them than to fulfill their self-centered goals. And what does this do? This tends to make them pushy and belligerent about what they want. In contrast, personal, petty aims are not nearly as important to those who are focused on pleasing God rather than self. So as far as worldly desires are concerned, true wisdom teaches people to be mild and gentle, not pushy and aggressive. So true wisdom is gentle. We read in verse 17 that true wisdom is open to reason. In the original language, this word that's translated as open to reason means something like compliant. One commentator helps us to understand the gist of the word. I'm going to quote him. The word here, euphephes, means literally easily persuaded. What is meant is not a weak, credulous gullibility, but a willing deference to others when unalterable theological or moral principles are not involved. Willing to yield. True wisdom is willing to yield. True wisdom teaches a person to show deference when it comes to matters of mere preference, where the doctrinal and moral principles of God's word are not involved. True wisdom teaches us to show deference when it comes to mere preference. And we know what we mean by mere preference. Like, where do you want to go out to eat today? Or what color should the carpet be? How do you want to spend our time today? Saturday, this weekend. Preference shows us how to be deferent when it comes to matters of mere preference. True wisdom, as we read in verse 17, is also full of mercy. While bitter jealousy and selfish ambition will lead people to trample on and abuse others in order to get what they want, the wisdom of God teaches us not to look at people as competitors or as tools. Rather, it teaches us to look at people as those who are made in God's likeness, to be treated righteously. Unlike the counterfeit wisdom of the world, the goal of true wisdom is not what is expedient, not what is advantageous, but what is righteous. True wisdom teaches us that when dealing with people, the main concern is not our own benefit, but what is right in the sight of God, even if that is to the loss of our own benefit. And that concern, of course, will lead us to treat people mercifully as God would have us. True wisdom is also, as we read in our text, full of good fruits. We read in verse 16, "For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice." That's bad fruit. In contrast, true wisdom produces good fruits. As we've already emphasized, true wisdom does not teach us how to obtain our earthly self-centered cravings and ambitions. True wisdom does teach us how to conduct ourselves in a manner that is pleasing to God. It teaches us how to bear the fruits of righteousness. True wisdom is full of good fruits. True wisdom is impartial and sincere. See, counterfeit wisdom teaches us to treat people partially based on how much they can offer us. If we deem that someone has a lot to offer us, well, what do? We act insincerely towards them. We fawn over them. We do our best to ingratiate ourselves with them. But if we think someone has nothing to offer us, we treat them coldly and dismissively, dishonorably. And if that person we were fawning over happens to fall into hard times, and we think they are no longer useful to us, our interest in them evaporates and they're discarded, tossed by the wayside. That's insincere. That's partial. True wisdom, on the other hand, teaches us to treat people impartially. As we've emphasized earlier in this series, showing honor and respect towards all, regardless of their background, regardless of how much or how little they may offer us. True wisdom teaches us to treat our neighbors sincerely, doing unto them what we would have them do unto us, not out of some self-serving motive, but simply because our God commands us to do so, because righteousness is the focus of true wisdom. Now, who, if I may ask, exhibited these qualities of true wisdom perfectly? And of course, we know the answer to that question. That answer is our Lord Jesus Christ. Conformity to the image of our Lord Jesus Christ is the objective of God's wisdom. Becoming like our Lord Jesus Christ is the conduct that pleases God. And the gospel is the wisdom from above that teaches us God's way of saving wretched sinners such as ourselves and transforming us in growing conformity to the likeness of Jesus Christ, his Son. If our trust is in Christ Jesus today, God chose us from all eternity and predestined us for salvation through his Son. And at the right time, our Lord opened our hearts to his gospel, and by doing so, enabled us to trust his Son for the gift of eternal life. And when we were forgiven our trespasses and reconciled to God for his Son's sake, we were also adopted by the Heavenly Father and sealed with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, as we know, who illuminates Scripture for us, that we might accept and understand God's revealed will. The Holy Spirit who leads us to grow in Christ-like holiness by implanting with us new spiritual desires. This is the wisdom that is from above. This is the wisdom of God that teaches us how to conduct ourselves in a manner that is pleasing to him. And what is pleasing to him is becoming like Christ due to transforming power of his saving grace. A life that is being transformed in conformity to the likeness of Christ is the result of possessing true wisdom. Look at the fruit of a person's life, and you will know if the wisdom they live by is the wisdom from above or an earthly counterfeit wisdom, which is in reality nothing more than bitter jealousy and selfish ambition. False earthly wisdom, as our text has shown us, inevitably produces bad fruit, disorder, and every vile practice. We may get what we want, but we get what we want at the cost of disorder and every vile practice. That's counterfeit earthly wisdom. True heavenly wisdom, the wisdom of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, produces the opposite. It produces a Christ-like obedience done with a meekness of heart. The fruit of that Christ-like obedience and meekness, as our text concludes, is not disorder and every vile practice, but rather a harvest of righteousness. Verse 18, and a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. We recognize true wisdom by its fruit. And so if we consider ourselves to be wise and understanding, we need to ask ourselves, Is our so-called wisdom producing good fruit or bad fruit? Does it produce disorder in every vile practice, or does it produce a harvest of Christ-like righteousness? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, insofar as what has been preached from this pulpit is in keeping with your word and the product of your Holy Spirit's illumination, we pray, Heavenly Father, that we who are saved by the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, who are indwelt by your Holy Spirit, we pray that we would listen and receive your word for what it is, the word of God, fully authoritative for all of life. And as we conform ourselves to the true wisdom, we pray, Lord God, enable us out of the richness of your mercy and grace to produce the fruit of true wisdom, which is a harvest of righteousness. Please help us, Lord, we who are weak sinners and in and of ourselves, to grow in the character of our Lord Jesus Christ. We see the world as it's so focused on its own selfish ambition, its own selfish pleasure. It resorts to all kinds of vile practices in order to get what it wants. Far be it that we who are your people, who are consecrated to you by your saving grace, to imitate that way of life. Oh, we pray, Lord God, that we who have received your true wisdom in Christ Jesus, that we would be God-focused, and by being God-focused, made meek. And that the center of our concern would not be what is advantageous to our earthly interests, but rather, Lord God, your kingdom and your righteousness. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.